And Lord, we do thank you for this morning, and we know and realize that this is a divine appointment, that we are all here because you have designated it, Lord. And I pray that you take this vessel of clay that is me, take it off the shelf, fill it with your spirit, fill it to the brim, and have others take their eye off the clay and off the pot, but rather pay attention to the contents. May it be a sweet aroma to you and to the people here as well. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. So some of you may not have met me. I'm Dennis. I'm one of the elders here. And again, I'm not a preacher, but God has laid something on my heart, and I'm convinced that the message that he gave me is not just for me, but it's also for you. Before we start, people often ask me about my trucking, what we do. Actually, I'm not a trucker. I run Hotshot. For you that don't know, it's a pickup, usually a one-ton, that pulls a gooseneck flatbed and runs partial loads. And we've been blessed to be able to do that. I think God has blessed me tremendously with being able to do that because I'm an old man. This is not an old man's profession. If you look at it, you're away from home a lot. You're never in your own bed for very long, for many nights in a row. As a matter of fact, you sleep, in my case, in the back seat of the cab, and it's uncomfortable. But there are some perks, especially when Deb is able to go. We share the experience of seeing this country from a perspective that you probably would never see before. We have an opportunity to talk, to share, to explore, and look for doodahs. For those of you who don't know, doodahs are anything that's wild, preferably four-legged. We've seen mountain goats, we've seen bighorn sheep, nearly ran into one, seen deer, antelope, turkeys, just amazing amounts of, and the scenery has been wonderful. And to admire God's work and the geology and the colors and it's just, what a beautiful, but as Matt would say, a broken world we live in. And again, I have a lot of time to think and to look at all these places and wonder and contemplate. And I, like for instance, how did Death Star, Nevada get its name? Anybody know? Is it possible the Death Star was assembled there? Maybe it fell there, maybe, I don't know. Or if I were to drive off the pavement on the Sandy Mush Road, would I be in trouble? Probably. One question I asked Deb recently, what I've been contemplating for a while, is this. Is it mere coincidence that the grumpy curmudgeons on both Sesame Street and The Odd Couple is named Oscar? Is there something about Oscar that makes it so that you're just a curmudgeon? You're just hard to get along with. You're grouchy. And Deb asked me, how did I get to that point? Where did I get that? I'll tell you how I got that. It's an explanation that way, I think. She gave me a cookie. Some of you understand how I processed to Oscar from there. But more importantly than these is the fact that I get to all these times of quiet and tedium between loads to contemplate God and Jesus and his provision, both in the past and the present. It is goodness to me, to my family, to the people around me, and to listen to music that raises him, to worship music. And then I find myself thinking about fish. Is it an indication that maybe I need a vacation? I don't know. But I do enjoy fishing, by the way. But I don't go all out on it often. I really don't have anybody to go with. I've never known anybody that's done a lot of fishing. And so there are no mentoring for me. And I don't have talent. I mean, Deb will outfish me any day of the week. But I think, in actuality, what happened was I was thinking about the disciples. Where did they come from? Well, we know that, you know, some were tax collectors, you know, and other among other things, but a majority of them were fishermen. So it got to me thinking that if they were fishermen, is there some importance to fish, to God, and fishermen? Of course, obviously, fishermen are important to God, but what about fish? And three miracles from the Bible, and I say miracles because they were indeed miracles, revolved around fish that I can think of. And I'd like to turn to the first one, if we may. I'm going to read out of the New American Standard. For those of you who are not familiar with the New American Standard and are just strictly in the new International Version, New American Standard was the Baptist go-to version for a quite number of years, and I have spent a good portion of my life reading out of that. Luke chapter 5, verses 4 through 11. This talks about Simon and his companions. They go out fishing. They go and they spend the entire night, time after time, throwing the net out and hoping and praying something will happen. And they got nothing. No. These guys are professionals, but they got no fish. Anyway, let's read that. And again, it is Luke chapter 5, verses 4 through 11. When he finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." He, meaning Jesus, spoke to him, Simon, who had fished all night, caught nothing, said, "Go out again." Well, it's probably late in the day. Not a good time to fish. But what was Simon's response? Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they'd done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. A miracle. God said, "Just go out again, cast your nets into deeper water, and look what happened." Well, no, first thing I want to note out of this is that when Jesus actually called him, backing up a little bit, the New International Version says, Jesus asked, "How's the fishing?" And they said, "Honestly, haven't caught a thing, nothing." And then when Jesus says, "Go out and put your net a little deeper into deeper water," I can imagine poor Simon, tired, exhausted, frustrated beyond belief. Because remember, he's just not catching dinner. This is his livelihood. And he says, okay, I'll put it out because you say so. And what was the result? Two boats, not just one, two boats almost overflowing to the point where they're going to sink the boats. Wow. You see, Peter, I'm getting ahead of myself. His name is Simon at this point. Actually listened, and he put the net out. He responded, and results happened. Well, I got to tell you, this is not the only time something similar happened. If you look at John, I think it's 21. After the crucifixion, Peter, and the disciples decided that they were just going to go back to what they knew, and they went back fishing, and Jesus comes along and says, throw your net to the right, because again, they hadn't caught anything, and the same thing happened. See, God is consistent. We need to respond. They threw the boat, they threw it to the right, fish came up. Well, that's all well and good, but how many of us have, I know that many of us have found ourselves tired, exhausted, and unable to move forward, and it's hard. It's hard to listen and move. Well, I want to look at another miracle, and it's a strange one. It's a very, very strange one involving a fish. Jesus and his disciples come back to Capernaum, which has basically been their headquarters for a while. And one of the officials asked Simon, I think I believe it was, does your master pay temple tax? Now, wait a minute. Think about this. You're asking God's son, Jesus, do you pay temple tax? Obviously, he didn't recognize who he was. And obviously, as you'll find, if we read this, and this is found in Matthew 17, 24 through 27, Jesus kind of agreed. Maybe I shouldn't pay temple tax because, well, I own the temple, the world, the cattle on 1,000 hills, everything. And again, this is Matthew 17. And it is 24 through 27. After Jesus and his disciples arrived at Capernaum, the collectors of the $2 drachma tax came to Peter and asked, doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax? Oh, yes, he does, replied. When Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. What do you think, Simon? He asked. From whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own sons or from others? From others, Peter answered. Well, that's obvious. Then the sons are exempt, Jesus said to him, but so that we may not offend them, go out to the lake, throw out your line, and take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4-drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and for yours. Strange. This fish, he tells him to go out and go fishing and to bring back the fish, the very first fish, not a fish, just the very first fish, and you'll find a coin. Not just for Jesus' tax, but for Peter's as well. So Peter had to ask the question. Jesus responds, he had to go out and cast out that line. Don't know, I can't imagine casting out that line and said, come on, coin. No, he said, fish, right? You don't expect a coin to show up. But he did it. And what was the result? His tax and Jesus' tax paid. Wow. What a strange but wonderful miracle. Of all the fish in all the seas, Jesus knows exactly when to cast the net, cast the line, and which fish had the coin. And Peter responded. Well, that's not the last, the only incident with a fish. These aren't the only ones, of course. But I think the one that has the biggest impact on me, perhaps, is when Jesus was preaching and it got to be late in the day. And, well, people were hungry. But they were far, far away from the city, any city. And yet, Jesus says, feed them. Excuse me, how am I going to walk all the way to the city with and purchase enough for, let's see, there's 5,000 men altogether. I don't know how many in total, but just the men alone, 5,000. Am I going to purchase all that, carry it back, and then distribute it? Jesus, no. We're going to just dismiss them. They'll go find their own way. But Jesus wasn't satisfied with that. He said, I will provide. And they said, anyway, let's read and see what exactly happened according to John. And that is John chapter 8, or chapter 6, verses 8 through 13. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, note, okay. Here's a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish. But how far will they go among so many? Note that he said they're small. They're not even big fish. They're small. Maybe they're minnows. They're itty bitties. And we're going to feed these people. So Jesus said, have the people sit down. There's plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, and about 5,000 of them. Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. And he did the same with the fish. Again, these small loaves and these small fish distributed among 5,000 men plus whomever else was present, women. And when they all had all eaten enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing to waste. So they gathered them and filled the 12 baskets with pieces of the five barley loaves left over by those who have eaten. I have a hard time wrapping my mind around that. And to be honest, I'll probably spend a number of hours in the truck still trying to wrap my mind around this, because small fish, small barley loaves, five loaves and some small fish feeding 5,000 plus. God, what a miraculous God. What a wonderful provision. What a witness. And you know, the biggest witness of all, there, I mean, everybody was provided for, everybody was aware that they had been provided for, but was that small boy, that little boy. Do you think that had an impact on his life? Can you imagine later in life, this small boy, now a grown man with a family of his own, and he's poor, as is the rest of his family and community, and the times are hard, and things are looking pretty bleak. He gathers his family around because, you know, it's mealtime, and there's not much on the table at all. Barely enough to go around. But he sets the children down, and he says, "Let me tell you a story. When I was a young man, young boy, my mother got me up really early one day to go out and listen to this preacher. I'd never heard of him. His name was Jesus. And I wasn't really anxious to go, but Mom insisted, and we went. And he spoke with such authority. He's amazing, amazing experience. And then he took my lunch of 5 small barley loaves and some small fish, and he fed everyone there, and there was over 5,000 people. He said, "Surely, children, the God that provided that can provide for us. He can provide for us." So, what lessons have we got here? Well, I'll tell you a little bit on my lessons. First of all, things have not always gone really well in the last couple of years. I've been burnt by some people that I truly thought and I could trust, and they turned on me, and others around me, and that bummed me for quite a long time. But I look back on my life, other times people have let me down, and if I really am honest about it, God has always come through, always provided not just peace, but also, in a sense, vindication, because others have come forward to say, "Yeah, you're right. I'm trusting that others will come forward in this situation as well." And we have faced some financial problems in the past. And I can remember specifically, I was going to school 5 days a week, working Saturdays. If the weather was nice, I could get out to the woods and I could work. Saturday, one day a week. And Deb was working in a Christian church, or Christian school, I should say. And she was getting $100 a month. We lived on that. We had 3 small children and a house payment. And our bills were always paid. I can look at a financial situation right now and say, I don't know where the money's coming from, but I know God has provided in the past. I know for certain that this isn't going to be an issue because we lived through those lean years and God provided every time. Every time. Not just occasionally. Every time. So, have you been tired and discouraged and about to give up? Has Jesus asked you, encouraged you to, so to speak, cast your net a little deeper? Did you do it? What was the result? Did your net come back so full that you filled the boat? Do you remember that? Do you remember the fish? Do you remember? Have you ever gotten an unexpected bill and you had no way to pay it? Did you ask Jesus about it? Did he provide? An unexpected source of some sort comes forth, and you pay your bill. And maybe a little extra, I don't know. This happened to me. Have you ever felt led to share from some limited resource that you have? And did God bless you because of it, and the people around you because of it? Do you remember the fish? Remember the fish. There is not a challenge today, be it physical, financial, whatever, that God can't provide for you. If you've never experienced it, and you're a true believer, you will. If you have experienced it, remember and trust God, because He will provide. He always does. Always. So, remember the past, the fish in your life. Anticipate the future with the expectation that God is going to provide, because He will. All right? It's a little awkward, but that is what God's laid on my heart. Asked me to concentrate on in my life. I trust that at least some of you have been touched by that as well, because I really strongly feel God led me to this. All right? Again, remember the fish. Please, remember the fish.